Live Pool Tech, January 17th. We're here at the ATIA conference, and I'm talking with John Gardner, who I hadn't seen in years and years. Nice to see you again, John.
Well, golly, Larry, it's nice to see you again, too.
We actually already did this part.
Two blind people seeing each other real good.
Huh? Yeah, yeah. So, John, for those of you that don't know, Dr. Gardner developed the Triangle program. And I guess we ought to start out with, you want to tell people what Triangle is? Because I think it's one of the very coolest programs for this kind of stuff that I mean, there is. I mean, it's the only one, actually. But go ahead and tell us about it.
Well, we developed Triangle because blind students who were taking math and science needed to be able to write math and manipulate math equations, solve algebraic equations and things like that. And there really isn't any way to do this. You sit down with a Braille writer and you write it in Braille and you make a mistake and you need to do it on a computer. So at the time this was written, which was in the early days in which Windows screen readers were actually working, it's just a simple text processor, but it's got lots of special characters in it. I mean, for example, all the standard characters that are somewhere in Windows fonts, like not just plus signs, but times signs and divide signs and integral signs and differential signs. And
a couple of fractions in there, too, I think, isn't there?
Well, we had to make up some signs. We had to make up maybe a dozen or so things for begin fraction, middle fraction, end fraction. Because people just say too many parentheses.
You just picked a character to represent those?
Well, we made one.
Yeah.
We made a special font with some markup.
Okay.
But somebody can just sit and type out an equation and put, I want to start a fraction, put a start fraction indicator, and then put a 1, and then put a what I call a denominator symbol, and then put the 2, and then close the fraction. And it's something that, since most of the symbols, like the Greek symbols and all the standard math symbols, come from standard fonts, any scientist can look at it and can actually read it.
Okay.
He has to have a little cheat sheet of this handful of special markup symbols, but that's pretty easy. You just make it to them. We had a student who came to Oregon State about 4 or 5 years ago who had lost his sight as a teenager, did not read Braille very well, and he wanted to study physics. He was from Pakistan, and the Pakistanis said blind people can't study physics, so he came to the United States, and he came to Oregon State in particular, because Oregon State said, well, we think blind students can study physics. So we sort of hastily got this Triangle program ready for him, and it's been a beta program from that day till this one, but it worked well enough for him to graduate in only 3 years.
Wow.
Graduated as the top student in the university.
Nice.
So, not bad for a blind kid who can study physics. And now he's at Harvard studying for his PhD in physics.
So how does it work when you go through it with your cursor? It just announces a begin fraction, a denominator symbol?
We just have a little dictionary, which the user can alter. I use pretty simple. It just says something like X equals fraction, 1 denominator, 2, and fraction.
Okay.
I tried to make it so that it didn't have a big learning curve.
Oh, so how do you enter that if you want to write one down?
Well, there's quite a few ways. You can go up to the menu and open the menu and go down and find where these symbols are. But after a while, that gets tedious. So they're hotkeys.
Okay.
So there's a hotkey for start fraction. And there are all these other symbols, like the standard Windows symbols. And you can just open up these special symbol fonts. This was made back before Unicode. It reads Unicode now, but it's an RTF word processor.
In fact, I think we had a conversation back in the early 90s, didn't we, about getting some of those characters to say what you wanted?
Yeah.
You remember
that?
Long time ago.
I tried to make screen readers do it, and I gave up. This is a self-voicing program. So the screen reader just goes to sleep when you go into Triangle, and it sleeps. worked well enough to get this young man a degree.
Yeah.
I will admit he's pretty smart.
Sounds like it. But you contributed.
I feel I made a contribution.
But I guess you're most famous for the tiger, right? Isn't that your climb to fame these days?
I'd like to think I'm most famous for being a solid-state physicist of some renown, but in this community, yes, I guess I'm most famous for being the tiger.
You know, I guess you ought to tell us about that then, because we've been doing these career things on Blind Cool Tech, where people just record about themselves, which is really hard to do, for one. And it's been a valuable resource to go on there and find a doctorate of psychology or an engineer or whatever, and listen to how they got started in their job and what they do and everything. So you've got a fascinating career. Tell us about that.
Well, I wasn't blind when I did my studies. In fact, I lost my sight in mid-career. I was already, a full professor, and I had research grants, and of course I did teaching, and did a lot of physics and published a lot of papers, and I lost my sight rather suddenly because of an unfortunate eye operation that was supposed to be simple, turned out not to be.
Oh, man.
And my interest in things like triangle and tiger came about because I still had to do physics. I had students, I had postdocs, I had grants, I had work to do. So I frankly was... what's a tactful way of saying? I was not very pleased with the ability of blind people to access scientific information. This was in 1989 or so. So things have improved a lot since then.
Yeah.
But even so, I didn't... I thought, there's some things that can be done to make life better. I happened to say that when I was in the National Science Foundation one day, and somebody overheard me, and they said, what could you do? And I outlined some ideas, and he said, here's a check. Go home and try some of these.
I'm sure it wasn't quite that easy, but...
Just about was. Because the National Science Foundation had a terrible problem they didn't know how to solve, because... distributing scientific materials in Braille was just not an option.
Yeah.
Authors aren't going to learn Braille in order to publish a paper in a scientific journal.
Yeah.
So I went home, and one of the first things I did was to develop something that is now called Docs Plus Braille.
I just wanted to tell you, I'm going to head back to the room now. See you in the morning.
Okay. Do you want to... What time are we starting? Like 9? 8:30? You want me to call you? Okay.
I'll see you again, and I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Hey, bring my my triple A's with you, okay?
I've got the triple A's. If you need them tonight, just give me a buzz when you get
okay. Thanks. See you tomorrow. So
should we continue?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I developed something called Dots Plus Braille. That's what you call it now. It's an extension of Braille that has symbols in it. And then, interestingly enough, the Tiger technology was developed because I was very frustrated that there was no Braille technology with enough resolution to be able to print the graphical symbols in Dots Plus Braille. And there are actually people who use Dots Plus Braille for displaying math. It's kind of neat. It's used in universities and community colleges for students who can't or won't learn math, Braille, Nemeth, or whatever.
Now, how does that work?
Dots Plus Braille uses Braille for letters and numbers and things that more or less have to be Braille. But things like plus signs and integral signs and times signs are just little graphics.
Okay.
You don't read math fast. And if you're reading slow, it's perfectly easy to recognize the shape of a plus sign.
Oh, so it's actually the shape of a plus sign
Yeah.
Factually. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And the consequence is that it's really easy to prepare something in DOS plus Braille. You just change the font and it's done.
So
you can print it in Microsoft Word, for example. And that's the way most of our users use it.
Now, how did you print it before Tiger, though?
Well, you didn't. That's why we
developed
Tiger.
I got you.
I had this neat technology and no way to implement it.
Okay.
So the Tiger was born, actually, to print that. Most people don't know this in a little history because it's turned out to be useful for so many other things.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a great segue into the Tiger then, isn't it? Isn't there a new version of the Tiger? Did I hear somewhere yesterday, I thought?
Well, we've learned that people like to have ink as well as Braille. And we introduced an ink attachment for our Pro Tiger Pro Embosser earlier this year. It has turned out to be extremely popular.
Not bad.
We're selling it like hotcakes, but it's pretty expensive. And
how's pretty?
But I'm not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to say it's a real bargain. Actually, it is a bargain. There are a few Braille embossers on the market that can also print in ink, and they actually cost more than the Pro plus the ink edition. But in any case,
are you the financial advisor there, Karen?
I'm the vice president.
You should be the president.
Right.
We're not supposed to say our products are expensive. We're supposed to say, well, they're valuable for the price you get, which they are, I thoroughly believe.
Because it's a very reliable machine. It can print many, many copies and still be going strong.
Yeah. We're quite proud of our Tiger product line, and our sales are increasing, and our users are by and large extremely enthusiastic. So, that's the hallmark of a good product.
Well, I've sure been wanting one for years, but now I'm glad I waited for this ink part of it.
Well, you will see at this show our new imprint, which is a tactile color printer. It is a haptic color printer. That's what we call it.
Haptic?
Haptic.
Oh, as in, okay. That's a good description.
It prints a beautiful color image using HB inkjet technology. And embosses it. So it gives you the embossed copy and it gives you the color or black and white text or whatever you want it to print. And we've been really quite stunned stunned isn't the right word. We expected people to be excited about it. But people really all over the world are very excited about the imprint. So they're waiting to get their copy.
Is this the technology that layers, like, layers of wax on a paper?
Nope.
Okay.
It's embossed.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yep. It's embossed,
okay.
but it's printed. It's printed and then embossed.
Okay.
So the embossing is just, it uses the standard Tiger technology.
Okay.
So, and it's priced to go. It's priced at about half of the cost of a Pro Plus Ink embosser. But it's a letter size printer.
Okay.
It's 8.5 by 11 sheet paper, and it simply does a wonderful job.
Nice.
You'll like it.
You know, one of the things I've always loved about the Tiger, especially in relationship to this subject matter that we're here today for, and that is to be able to distribute electronic images with the book, so that now I can send a book to anywhere across the country and have them printed out full text, full images.
You do know about our new Iveo technology that we unveiled last summer.
Tell us about it.
It uses a standard graphics format that is called scalable vector graphics. It's developed as basically the vector graphics language of the World Wide Web. It's becoming relatively popular with a number of disciplines. For example, geographers like it because it's a great way to print maps, etc.
Yeah.
And what we've done is to use SVG and to make a viewer that not only displays the image as any SVG would do, but allows users with print disabilities to access the image. So
we can take an image off the internet.
You can, if you have an IVAO SVG image that appears on the internet, you simply open it up in your SVG viewer, which, by the way, you're going to like the price on this one. It's free. Okay?
Do you call that expensive, Karen?
So you open it up in the viewer, and if you are not blind or not severely print impaired, you may enjoy just using it that way with a mouse and clicking and hearing the text speak.
Let me interrupt you just for a second. We should point out to people that might not know that the advantage of vector graphics is that you can, well, you set it scale without pixelating. So I guess that's enough said about it. So
yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
It's a really sweet technique.
Yeah.
So
and you can put labels in place.
And you can put labels.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. So you can not only read the text, but if they're graphics, and if the only thing that the author has to do that's anything more than just standard create an SVG image, to label the important objects.
Okay.
For example, everybody understands a map. So we have a lot of illustrations, maps of the United States with no text on it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If there was text on it, then you could just push on the text and speak. But this has no text on it. But you can still push on a state and it will say the name of the state.
So, wait a minute. You push on it. What is this on that you're pushing on?
I'm sorry. You mouse click.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Mouse down.
Gotcha.
If you happen to be blind or severely dyslexic or something, that really don't help a lot because you don't know where to click. So what you do is you say just push the print button. This is a Windows program, so just print to any U+ embosser, including the new imprint, and create a tactile copy. Put it onto some sort of pad that you can use as a mouse. U+ sells a very nice touchpad that you can use in your desk computer, but it also works very well with things like the what's it, the your PC Carol?
A tablet PC.
Oh yeah,
PC.
Okay.
It works well with that technology. So just put it on there, and then you can feel these objects.
Yeah.
Even if you can't really feel what they are, you just feel a bunch of bumps. You can sort of push down on them or ask it to speak. And
oh, my God. And no work done. You just take this off the internet. That some guy that knows nothing about blindness prepared.
Yeah, yeah.
And he put the labels in it because he wanted to see the labels.
Well, the labels he has to put in are not visible on the screen. Anything that's visible on the screen.
Oh, okay, that's true.
Well, it is visible on the screen if you put your mouse over it.
A sunlight, like a balloon tip pops up or something.
Like in a balloon, and you can see what the label is.
Nice. Wow.
There are good reasons to do that.
So surely there's images that don't emboss well, like a mountain range in Bolivia with the sun creating shadows and different colors and stuff. What would it do with something like that?
Well, you would get a tactile image, but you're right. There are limits to what one can access.
It's got a limited resolution, for one thing, right?
Oh, the resolution isn't any problem. If something doesn't have enough resolution, you just zoom out on that particular point, which a blind person can do, and say, all right, let's enlarge this.
Oh, okay.
Let me take this little rectangle here and enlarge it, and I'll make myself another image. And so resolution's not a problem with scalable vector graphics.
What about colors?
Colors, by default, what the printer prints is what I call a hyper-resolved grayscale image. So dark areas print with big dots, and light areas print with low dots. So white would be no dots, black would be the tallest dots.
Oh, so you do have different heights of dots on those,
oh, yeah,
too.
Yeah. That's not color, but that's gray.
Yeah.
So if you really physically need color, one has, at least in principle, user options to substitute patterns for colors.
Okay.
Those are still relatively primitive, even under development, and we'd like to make these more automatic in the future, but one can certainly do that.
That is fascinating.
You'll like it.
So are you still a professor, or has Tiger kind of taken over? And
well, I just ran out of time to do so many jobs, so I retired from the university a couple of years ago. I am still a professor. I still have an office and a lab, and occasionally I skate there and go back to hide in academia. And I still do have one PhD student.
Okay.
But I must admit, I spend most of my time at UCLA.
And it sounds like you are thoroughly enjoying it.
I am.
Well, congratulations, John.
Thank you, Leonard.
Man, what a great product, too. I've always admired that thing, and I don't know why we hadn't got one over at APH yet, in fact.
I can't understand why you don't have several of them at APH.
Well, yeah, that too. I know we need one back in our area, though. I'm sure production could use one, too, but I know we need one in our area for all kinds of various tasks that one runs into in programming, because I can imagine that you can just do a screen print on these things too to check your layouts out. And,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I will.
Wow.
That's there are some blind programmers who are very proud of the visual effects, and that's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
They screen dump and they say, oh, I like it or I don't like it. I'm going to tweak this and tweak that.
Well, you know, the fact is, even if you're a blind programmer, your stuff still has to look good.
Absolutely.
you don't want people to say, damn, that guy must have been blind. Oh, excellent. You got a booth here this year, I guess?
We do.
I'm going to come by and check out some tactile, check it out tactually instead of just.
We also did maps for the show. So
oh, did you?
Braille handouts. The
okay.
Maps were done by UPlus.
Nice. And I know this is a bargain, Karen, but Carolyn?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Karen when you came up. What are the prices on these units?
Well, the new imprint is, I believe, being announced at $5,995.
That's the one that does the 8x10s, single sheets?
Single sheets, color ink,
Braille
embossing. Let's see, I was trying to remember how many pages a minute. If it's printing ink and Braille, it has to wait for the ink to dry. So that takes a few seconds. But I believe that when it's printing just Braille, so that I have a milestone. More than 4 pages a minute.
Oh, nice.
No, I can't remember exactly what the number is. Between 4 and 5 pages a minute. So it's actually embosses quite speedy.
And then the original, if I remember right, it was around 10,000
or a month. 9,750.
Pardon me?
9,750.
Oh, okay.
That's the pro embossing.
That's the pro. It's now the pro.
Okay. And it does what size paper?
It does really huge paper. It will print paper up to 17 inches wide.
Oh, nice.
We sell special roll paper that's 17 inches wide by, let's Windows has a practical limit of 50 inches.
Oh, does it? You're probably one of the few people on Earth that know that.
Yeah. Well, we have a number of 17 by 50 inch maps. We have
the periodic table.
Everybody who owns a Tiger Pro prints out the periodic table and has it on the wall. Right?
But with the Ibeo technology, you can print it on an 8.5 by 11.
Oh,
you
true.
You don't need to have the big braille.
Yeah.
Just feel it.
Periodic table and just feel the little square, and it says what the element is, and it gives you all the other information too.
Yeah, you can put a lot more information into an SVG file, because there's, as well as a label, which would say hydrogen, presumably when you touch it, it's got a description field, and that description field is arbitrarily large, so you can put basically all of the information that's in the chemistry table in that file, and quite accessible.
That is so neat.
Sweet.
Well, what's this guy doing the TTT got over that? I mean, it sounds like your system is a lot more flexible.
The TTT was developed as a tool for blind people. And blind children, actually, is what it was really aimed at. And Steve developed that. And he's got a very nice tactile interface.
Yeah, he does.
So, in principle, you can sit down with his tablet and do everything on the tablet.
Okay.
Ibeo is a much more powerful product, and it's a computer peripheral, so it works on a computer. So, so you can explore a map, but then if you want to look at something else, I mean, first of all, you don't need pre-printed copy. If you're a student and you're in a lab that has a Tiger embossed or somewhere in the lab, then all you need are the files.
Yeah.
You can actually don't want to see every graphic that's given to you.
Right.
So somebody can spend a lot of time making these accessible. They don't have to, because if you don't want it, you don't print it. And when you come to one you want to print, you print it. And if you want it bigger, then you zoom it and print it again.
You know, that's actually something I was going to ask you a minute ago. Do y'all have the periodic table on your website, or does one just get one from anywhere and just print it?
No,
we have it on our website.
We have several versions, depending on your choice of braille. We've got print on the Pro.
But I'm pretty sure we will have the it comes with Ibeo. When you buy the Ibeo Creator package and the touchpad, then you also get some of our samples in the periodic table. It's one of those samples so that you can print it out.
We should give people we didn't give your web address, did we?
www.viewplus.com.
Okay.
Viewplus is V-I-E-W-P-L-U-S.
And your contact info, John?
Well, I'm John.Gardner.
At viewplus.com?
Yep.
Okay. And Carolyn.Gardner?
Carolyn.Gardner.
What happens if we write to Karen.Gardner?
Bounce. Probably goes into our webmaster, and he'll decide whether it was meant for me or not.
He will decide whether to send it on or to junk it as spam.
And your webmaster would be John, probably.
No, we have a real IT person.
Oh,
that's his job.
Oh, me.
Keeping us all running, which is a big job.
It's a good thing, because John's not a very good IT person.
No, we had several software engineers and one hardware electronic engineer that were webmasters before we hired a full-time person.
Okay.
I really like having a full-time person.
Yeah, I'll bet. Now, do you do any of the programming yourself, John, on any of this stuff?
No, I haven't done any serious programming for several years.
Okay.
In fact, I must say, I don't think I could program without a lot of learning at the level that's going on now. So I just tell our guys what we want and how I want it to work, and if it does that, then I said it's fine.
He's the architect.
Yeah. You know, that's the way programming is.
And also, he does a lot of the hardware development, too.
Okay. So. That's actually the way programming is going to be in a few years. You know what? You can just tell that computer what you want and not have to write it.
Yep. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that day.
Anything else you want to say to Blind Cool Tech? Or, okay, I hadn't told you about Blind Cool Tech. Blindcooltech.com. Have you checked out any podcasts?
I know about podcasts, but I've not gotten around to having myself a pod, so I haven't used one yet. But I know about them, yeah.
Well, you can play them on Media Player.
I know.
Or, yeah.
I know.
So now you're on one. Before
wow.
You even get to listen to one. You have to listen to yours, though, right? anything else you want to tell us about View Plus?
So where's Blind Cool Tech? That's
ABH, it. No, that's just something I'm doing on the side, just for the hell of it.
.org?
BlindCoolTech.com. Yeah.
So what do I want to say about View Plus? I guess we've largely covered the products. I started View Plus because...
We didn't really talk about the desktop series. We have three printers that are smaller than the Pro.
Okay.
And basically they print 8.5 by 11 size pages. They emboss the 8.5 by 11 size pages.
Oh, and we have one that's 11.5.
Right.
11.5 inch wide embosser.
Okay.
The Pro is our agency brand. A number of European countries actually fund blind people, and especially in Scandinavia now, our smaller desktop printers, 8.5 inch printers, are becoming quite popular with people to have in their homes. Most Americans can't afford this, but a lot of Europeans can. So they're really selling quite well for personal use.
Wow, nice.
And we think that the imprint will probably do as well, because it's both an ink printer and a embosser.
And these are easy enough to install that pretty much any blind person could just get the printer and get it all hooked up and working just in an hour or two.
The printer, you have to unpack it and take out the parts that keep UPS from destroying it.
All right.
The and if you can do that, USB cable or a parallel cable, and you install the printer driver, and with the printer driver you get a lot of software that makes it really, really very, very useful.
Nice.
See, there's something that we call our Tiger Software Suite. There's a Braille translator program. There's a new program that we introduced sometime last year called the Formatter that works in Office. And it works with Word and Excel really, really, really well. You just push a button on a Word program and it reformats it to a Braille document, keeping all the graphics and
nice.
Things like that in there. Push a button and it prints.
Translates it too?
Yes.
Wow. You choose whether you want Braille 1 or Braille 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's got lots of different languages. So you choose which language you want. English, presumably, for you and me.
So, are you using somebody else's translator, or did you guys write one from scratch? Or?
We've been licensing the translator from Duxbury.
Okay. Certainly can't get a better one than that.
The really cool thing, though, is Excel. It is really so nice to be able to use this and push the button and translate an Excel spreadsheet and to be able to print it out. And sometimes even if it's as big as a bed sheet, you can print it.
I cannot even imagine that. I'm definitely going to check it out, though.
And the charts. Charts.
Yeah.
They're printed and they're turned into Braille. Isn't that sweet?
Now the next thing we need to do is figure out how to get Braille across the internet, huh?
Oh, that's easy to do.
Just have everybody have a Tiger at their place.
Yeah, right.
Got it. Well, John, it was
Larry,
really good talking
to you,
man.
Good to talk to you.
Nice meeting you, Carolyn. I don't think we've ever met before, have we?
Well... I think we met at CSUN.
Okay.
I think we met at CSUN.
Okay.
Actually, I think you were in the audience when I was talking about Flash Plus.
Yep, I sure was.
Yep.
But that has never gotten to the market.
Okay.
No, it's going to be replaced by Ivao. We'll be doing Ivao math by next year. So.
Okay. Well, thank you guys.
Wow.
Very nice talking with you. You too.